I would invite you to take a Bible and turn with me to Psalm 105, if you would like. I want to read selected verses here in the Psalm today. Actually, I'm going to read verses 1 through 6, 23 through 26, and 42 through 45. Psalm 105. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Tell of all his wonderful works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wonderful works that he has done, his miracles and the judgments he uttered. O offspring of Abraham, his servant, sons of Jacob, his chosen ones. And verses 23 through 26. Then Israel came to Egypt. Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham. And the Lord made his people very fruitful and made them stronger than their foes. He turned their hearts to hate his people, to deal craftily with his servants. And he sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen. In verses 42 to the end of the chapter. For he remembered his holy promise and Abraham his servant. He led forth his people with joy, his chosen ones with singing, and he gave them the lands of the nations, and they took possession of the fruit of the people's toil, to the end that they should keep his statutes and observe his laws. Praise the Lord. As we have come on this Sunday, Memorial Sunday, we come to remember in thoughts, in our prayers, as we have already done and as we continue to do, the soldiers who gave their lives for our country, dying while serving. But we especially come on these Sundays, and we are here on this Sunday especially, to remember in thoughts and prayers our church members who have died and gone to be with God in his forever presence since last year's Memorial Sunday. As we think back on not only their lives and their influence, and as we think back on what God has done for us in so many ways, I want to relate something that I read about a college class. It wasn't one of mine, but a college class in another part of the country just a few years ago. And I had tucked this away, and lo and behold, I just happened to find it a few weeks ago. And so I want to share this with you about remembering the past and preparing for the future. There was a college class that, as part of their work that semester, they were assigned the task of going to retirement centers. Well, at least in the 1980s, they were called nursing homes, but I changed it to retirement center. But this happened in the 80s, the late 80s and early 90s. And their assignment was to go there regularly and to visit with senior adults, recording and reporting on what the seniors remembered about their own lives. They used a resource that was available at the time called reminiscence training. The purpose of that was multifold: to get the seniors to reminisce, to think about the past. First of all, it was for intergenerational contact. Among other things, it was to help the young folks see that senior adults are still viable and worthwhile. It also was to help the senior adults come to remember that not all young people are out of control. A second major concern in this exercise throughout the entire semester, and they had to write a paper about it at the end, was to help the senior adults keep their minds sharp, thinking through things, remembering things over and over. And third, the third purpose for this exercise, for this class that semester, was so that by remembering the past, both the young and the old in this intergenerational exercise could continue to see their way to live forth into the future. Not just the young folks, but the older folks, as they remembered and as they interacted, to live forth into the future. In the process of seeking to enhance that meaningful living and that reminiscence, there were certain questions that were used. Among them, describe your childhood home. Tell me about your family. Where did you worship? Who first told you that God loves you? Who was your favorite Sunday school teacher? Who was it that baptized you, and was it an important day for you? How important is your faith today? What's your favorite Bible verse? And as much as we love to sing, what is your favorite hymn? All of these things to try. There were others as well, but to try and get them to focus especially on their faith and family. One lady described her mother as constantly singing Amazing Grace, and that was this lady's favorite hymn because her mother constantly sang Amazing Grace. And she said, I still remember every time we were in church and that hymn was sung, she would close her eyes and sing it all without even looking at the hymn book. I also remember, she said, how many, many times throughout the day, regardless of what she was doing, she would wander around humming that song. In fact, that's where my name came from. Gracie, as the lady beamed. Of course, one of the things that people would ask the young people, or one of the things that perhaps they were a little bit sad about, they'd say, why don't we sing the old hymns anymore? And that was in the 1980s. You know, a lot could be read into that question. Why don't we sing the old hymns anymore? Some people would see it as a resistance to change. Some, well, a desire for the familiar. And we all like to feel comfortable, do we not? What about this? One student, in thinking about it, wrote, and I quote, singing, especially older songs, seems to be a way of remembering, especially for Christians, a way of remembering our journey of faith and God's faithfulness to us. End of quote. I would submit to you also that those we have honored here today would contribute in many and varied ways to our remembrance of faith, some of them by action, some of them by teaching, and some by singing. So as we think about remembering the past today, may it not be simply to remember the past for the good old days, but rather to remember the past in such a way that we remember the faithfulness of God and of others who have followed God so that we might be better prepared for our own future. Now, the particular psalm that we have for today, and for those that might be worried, time is crawling. The clock only says 11:32. I think the battery must be dying up there. But hey, we don't have service tonight, so I hope you packed a lunch. This particular psalm is one of a number that are called historical psalms, because in them, the psalmist asks the readers and the hearers, and this particular psalm was written during the Persian period, the post-exilic period, to reminisce and to sing, if it were, to sing kind of the old songs, to sing about the past, remembering the past. And this psalm, as an historical psalm, would have been used as a chant or a song within a larger service. getting the people to remember the past. He begins with a rather hefty agenda, though. He says, before we think about anything else, past or future, the first thing we need to do is to what? Yeah, praise God. To praise God, to trust God, to obey God, and to be reminded of the importance of praising God, of trusting God, of obeying God. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call on His name, make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing to Him, sing praises to Him, tell of all His wonderful works. And then in verse 4, seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His presence, not just Sunday morning, not just Sabbath for the Jews, but seek His presence continually, the text says. To get the people to focus on these things is really a daunting task, though. It was a daunting task back then. It's become more so even today. It's a very daunting task to get people to pause long enough to where they can concentrate on the Scriptures and remembering God rather than other things. Right? To help with this, he focused their attention, first of all, on the faithfulness of God. The faithfulness of God to Israel, not just every now and then, but he reminisces. I didn't read the whole psalm because we would have been here a whole lot longer. But this entire psalm reminisces, especially about the time with Abraham and then the time in Egypt and how God had protected them and provided for them throughout. To think about those times in the past where Israel, though she was not always faithful, still found God to be faithful. The psalmist uses many imperatives in this psalm as well, such as give, proclaim, make known, sing. These are not, if you think about it, in the Hebrew text, they're in the imperative form. These are necessities as we think about God and as we remember the past. All of them are around the central theme in verse 5. The central theme for this entire psalm actually occurs in verse 5. Remember the wonderful works that He has done, His miracles, and the judgments He uttered. That is the primary theme. And any reminiscence on the past and preparation for the future is to begin not only with praising God, but remembering the wonderful deeds that God has done. The writer selectively writes, then, of historical persons and events, Abraham and Jacob, and how God chose to make Himself known through Abraham and Jacob and their descendants. How God guided and protected them in so many ways, even when they didn't realize it. Why? So that the people would become a great nation. And not a great nation just so that they could be grand and wonderful among themselves, but a great nation so that others would pay attention to God and God's faithfulness to Israel and would be drawn to that faithfulness. He then concentrates on what became of that nation, though. That nation under Egyptian control. Now you might wonder, why in the world would the psalmist use such a bad time, such a horrible memory of Egypt in this psalm, which calls us to praise God and to think of His wonderful works? I mean, if you think of the bitterness and the hopelessness in exile, how in the world can that be inspiring, right? Well, the psalmist knew all too well, I would think, that life isn't fair, is it? How many times have you thought, you know, life's just not fair? And that oftentimes life is filled with difficulties, and it just isn't fair. And yet, in the midst of that thought, and in the midst of that bitterness and that hopelessness, and the children of Israel saying, wait a minute, we're God's chosen people, this isn't fair, God enabled them to flourish, which eventually brought about the call of Moses and the journey from bitterness and hopelessness to hope and promise. Promise being fulfilled. Old Testament scholar Walter Brueggemann writes concerning these kinds of historical psalms that they can be seen as, quote, psalms of abiding astonishment. Psalms of abiding astonishment. It is more than a trip down the memory lane of faith, he says. It is a teaching retrospective that serves to educate and to energize the present moment so that there will be hope for the future. End of quote. These historical psalms, they're not just nice little trips down memory lane. But their purpose is to bring about astonishment. In the middle of all of this, God was still present. In the middle of all of this, God brings hope. And God brings redemption. So that one could be energized for the future. The psalmist reminds them of God's faithfulness in the past, even in the dark past, with numerous examples of God's provision. God's provision of leaders, if you continue to read the psalm. God's guidance through the wilderness, when really there were times they should have died. God's provision of food. God's provision of each other, on whom to lean. Overarching it all is God's sustaining care. One writer writes, and I quote, "They are reminded that the land on which they now reside is proof positive of God's never-ending covenant love. They can shout, Hallelujah, because God is trustworthy. He was trustworthy then, and He can be counted on to be trustworthy today and tomorrow, and for all of the tomorrows." End of quote. So when all is sung or said and done, what are we supposed to do? As we gather here today, what are we supposed to do? Well, some would simply say, Hallelujah, praise the Lord, now let's go home, take a nap. But the psalmist already knew. The psalmist already knew the ending. The psalmist already knew the purpose of it all when he started this. Why do we do this? Why do we reminisce? Why is thinking of God and God's faithfulness in the past, thinking of the faithfulness of those soldiers for our country in the past, but more importantly for us today, thinking of the faithfulness of those of our church who are now in God's presence? Why is that so important? What is the purpose? Verse 45. He remembers all of this, and I quote, "To the end that they should keep His statutes and observe His laws." Our response to remembering is not so that we'll feel good and wonderful for a short time. Our response to the remembering is so that we will praise God, not just with words and songs, but that we will praise God, here verse 45, we will praise God in obedience to the end that they should keep His statutes and observe His laws. Obedience is one major way of praising God. Remembering God's claims on our lives, remembering God's provisions for us, these things help to challenge us to submit to God's claim. And remembering the lessons of God's faithfulness in our past will prepare us to live in the present and for the future. But it also gives us an opportunity to reflect upon those who have had an influence in our lives, who were faithful to keeping the statutes and observing the laws of God, who sought to strengthen their own faith, especially in difficult times. so that not only they, but those upon whom they had influence, family, friends, people in the workplace, children in the church, folks in the neighborhood, might know of God's faithfulness and might become strong themselves for the future. And so remembering those lessons of God's faithfulness and remembering the faithfulness and the commitment of those whom we have lost to this life physically, but whose influence remains within our own lives, is to strengthen our faith and our resolve so that we may not only be faithful, but so that we may make known God's deeds and God's wonders so that others may join us on the journey. A journey that we have begun with God, and sometimes a journey that we have begun with God and continue with God because of the influence of those whom we remember as being faithful. So as we reflect today, not just on Memorial Day from a military standpoint, but as we reflect upon the memorial, the remembrance, the thanksgiving we give to God for those who have influenced our lives, may we truly be better prepared as we face the future on this journey together. May we pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the many ways that you are present within our lives. Not only within us, but around us, in and through others who live according to those statutes and laws, and who have lived the law of love within our presence. May we become even more committed to living that love in the future for the good of generations to come. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is hymn number 767, For All the Saints. As we stand and as we sing, may we remember not only God's faithfulness to us individually, but God's faithfulness through those saints that we have been privileged to know. Hymn number 767, For All the Saints.